Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Today we're going to take a look at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Winged Wednesday program and the Library of Congress's field guides that are available to Michigan residents, and much, much more. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that we have nature, that you want us to have wonderment and awe when we look at your creation. Be with us and help us to explore more that's available to us as listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we're talking about the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Winged Wednesday program. We have Maya Turk. Maya, she is the Engagement and Innovation Specialist for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. She works with communities and organizations to forge mutually beneficial connections with state parks, trails, and waterways. Maya, welcome to Strong Tower Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know, Maya, I'm so excited. I am privileged to be a part of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources mailing information list, and we find out so many things that we pass on to our listeners. And I just learned about your program within the last 3 days, and it was really current topic. Tell our listeners a little bit about the Winged Wednesday program.
Yeah, Winged Wednesday, actually, it's in its, boy, I think we're going in our seventh season now, or sixth season, I guess, as it were. It is basically nothing more than a text message that people can subscribe to. You get it every Wednesday. I try to send them out at 11:46 a.m., just for some consistency. And it just tells you a little bit about birds that are migrating through or into Michigan and all of the really great state parks and recreation areas, or some of our natural game areas, where you might be able to see the birds flying through.
Oh, we all need those tips on where to find those birds. You want to always find the most amount of winged birds that you can find. Now, with that in mind, Maya, you introduced me to another person. It happens to be Adam Oster, and Adam works for the Library of Michigan, and he works with libraries, genealogy societies, historical organizations. So you're big into outreach also, aren't you, Adam?
Oh, for sure. I think it's one of the many common things that Maya and I probably could spend hours talking about if we wanted to.
Absolutely. So you have a Bachelor's of Arts degree in history from Grand Valley State University in Allendale. That's just west of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and a minor in political science and secondary education certification, and you also have a master's in library science from the Indiana University, and your interest is genealogy, local history research. I'm sure we're going to have more to talk about on a future program, Adam.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, with the two of you involved here, Maya, just tell us more about this Winged Wednesday, and you mentioned 7 years. But there was something that happened about 7 years that brought this together, and it has grown from there phenomenally.
Well, Winged Wednesday was just one of many tactics that were started back during COVID, which we always say that, COVID. It was interesting because one of the things that was kind of a universal experience for people is that we were kind of stuck at home. And as we're stuck at home, we're there during the day, and people started to realize, especially because the shutdown, if you recall, was actually right about now, right? It was mid-March, and it ran, well, for quite some time. But that was high time for bird migration. Mm. So bird migration each spring usually starts around February, although there is migration kind of all year long, but really in February. And In March, that's when it's really heating up. So people were home, they might have been outside, they're hearing things too. They're hearing the birds that are, and it sounds different. It's like you can always tell when the seasons change because the bird song is so different. So we started to get a lot more questions, and you'd see on social media posts, people were saying, I keep hearing this bird, or I saw this really interesting bird. And all of a sudden, it was like our awareness and that focus turned to these our feathered friends around us that we otherwise were too busy to really stop and take a chance to admire. So what we wanted to do is kind of take advantage of that. Like, here's a great way for people of all ages and all abilities to be able to get out and explore nature and see one of the really, really cool things, which is all of these amazing birds that tell us so much about where we are, when it is, the health of our environment. They're fascinating creatures, and so we didn't want to lose that opportunity. So in addition to really improving our online content, in addition to providing more information, say, via email, we started this text messaging that at the time actually was a little bit slow to take off, but now we're at about 6,000 people who every Wednesday say, I'd like to know more about what the birds are doing.
Absolutely. In fact, after this broadcast, I think we're going to add some more listeners and more people.
Great. I hope so.
It's interesting that you mentioned the coincidence of the shutdown, and it happened to be the spring migration season. And what's interesting is we are in what's called the Mississippi Flyway. Birds, when they're going north, they can go on one side of Lake Michigan or they can go on the other side of Lake Michigan. And we happen to be on the eastern side of Lake Michigan. So we have a wonderful group of birds that are parading right in front of our windows, right outside our houses and residence. And I don't know, you alluded to that, Maya, but we took more walks. Sometimes we were working at home and we took walks outside and we saw things that we had not paid attention because we were working at a slower pace. We were still working, but a slower pace and more dwell time in our same environment.
Yeah. What was interesting too, and this is something, when we looked at our birding programs, Winged Wednesday was a key part of that, our online content. But when we got into about 2021, 2022, that's when we started to really see that there was kind of a secondary pandemic, which is our senior citizens, those who were most likely going to be immunocompromised. They were still, even though things were opening back up, they still weren't comfortable leaving their homes. They had concerns. The virus was still out there. Plus, they'd been inside for a while, and they were afraid of possibly contracting something else that might be floating around. And so a lot of senior citizens were becoming more and more isolated. So Blue Cross Blue Shield actually reached out to us and said, what can we do to help encourage our senior citizens to get outside? And one of the interesting stats, it's a research element, and I wish I could remember the study, but the health outcomes for senior citizens who leave their house for 30 minutes a day, doesn't mean you have to be doing anything active. It's just leaving the house and even just sitting on a park bench and observing birds. Just that act alone dramatically increases their overall health outcomes. And so with that in mind, we thought, this is really important. This is something that we can encourage our senior citizens to get out and bird and get out and even just, because there's this notion of your physical health and your mental health, right? And so being alone all the time isn't good for us. We're more kind of pack animals, humans. And so it's really important for us to be engaging with other people, engaging in the community, and having that sense of being a part of something bigger. And so that's really what we've kind of evolved. We went from, let's just help people understand the world that they're seeing now that they're home, to really being very focused in our efforts and how we programmed for birding. And now we're kind of evolving again, and we're kind of opening it up and really expanding. So instead of having seniors-only birding programs, we're actually doing a lot more to do birding for everybody, because one of the things that's wonderful side effect of COVID is people really appreciate their public lands. They really appreciate having these green spaces available to them, and they understand that they belong to them. All of your public lands in Michigan belong to you. We're just the stewards that help make sure that they're going to be there for future generations. So it's been really, really great to see younger generations embracing that and embracing something like birding. and it's so great that Adam and the Library of Michigan were able to be partners with us to give more tools and resources to make birding fun and educational and help people make it a lifelong pursuit.
Let's bring Adam in. Adam Oster. Adam, tell us about the library. We're talking about being outdoors, and the library kind of sounds like an indoor activity.
You know, one would normally think that, but let's face it, librarians do like to get outside, and we certainly encourage our patrons to be doing the same thing. We want them to come and have access to materials through our libraries, but there are also many opportunities for getting into the outdoors, and so our Read Michigan platform allowed us to create an opportunity for people to be doing more of that outdoor activity. So I do want to briefly talk about what Read Michigan is. So readmichigan.org is an online ebook platform that's started in the sort of latter part of COVID in early 2022 between us, Michigan Humanities, and the presses of University of Michigan, Michigan State, and Wayne State University. All of what we have on there are ebooks that are connected to Michigan, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, poetry, but it doesn't matter where you are in the state, you get free access to them. You don't have to use a library card. As long as you have an internet access, you can get to them. And we reached a point in mid-2024 where we were trying to find other opportunities to expand access with Read Michigan, and we're like, hey, we used to bring books to state parks back in the 50s and 60s. What's a way we could do this in the modern day era? And by providing field guides, there's I think 39 different individual titles that relate to trails, wildflowers, fish, butterflies, animal tracks, waterfalls, but most importantly, birding. And when we brought this to our colleagues at DNR about trying to find a collaboration, this definitely hit the nail on the head for both us and them.
It was just a win. It was a win-win-win, because it's a win for the library system, it's a win for the DNR, and it's a win for the patrons, the users of the state parks, and the citizens of Michigan.
I would totally agree with that. And something that's also a great thing about this resource, beyond the fact that you don't have to have a card to check it out, there's no holds, but even if you get into an area where you don't have internet access, once you've brought up the book either in your browser on your phone or iPad or whatever device that you're using, you can still keep accessing the book even if your internet is not on. Plus, there's not a limit for downloads, so you could be having a program put on by a Department of Natural Resources person, and they have a group of several people that they're doing, say, a birding activity, and they all want to have access to the same title. It's there for each of them to be able to use. And I was looking at some of the stats a little bit earlier. Out of all of our ebooks, our Birds of Michigan Field Guide, just in 2025 alone, was the top one with almost 1,400 downloads. And the other ones underneath that weren't even close. They were all under 1,000 or less.
Well, we've learned that one-third of all Americans are considered themselves birders. That is totally amazing.
That is amazing. You know, I have to do a quick plug, too, for the field guides that are online. When our team saw the list of guides that the Library of Michigan team curated, we were so excited because it was everything. It was like foraging and hiking and obviously birding and several different versions of birding. But the one that really got me was, there was one, it was all about taking care of your feet. and it was such an odd one, but it makes so much sense, because I'll tell you what, you can't do any of the fun stuff, the biking and the foraging and the, if your feet aren't in good shape. So I really appreciated that you guys included that, and that you were so thoughtful about the whole experience of being an outdoor enthusiast. So anyways, we were so excited. So thank you for that.
I'm glad to hear that, because I think when you get librarians together on trying to find all these types of books, we certainly go as wild as we can to try and get everything curated within it, including things like that.
Librarians are awesome.
You know, I could just imagine, it came to mind, a picture that you guys created, just in inference, is that we go to a state park or a public facility, we load up our bird app, our field guide, and we're walking along, and we've spotted a couple birds, and we look down, and there's a snake. Well, what kind of snake is that? Well, I've got to download the snake app, and a little bit further there's a wildflower. So I got to download the wildflower app, and there's a butterfly or a pollinator over there. I've already got four apps, and I haven't finished my walk yet.
Well, I think maybe you have to just have a focused experience. Like, this walk is going to be my wildflower walk. This walk is going to be my, well, some people would like a snake walk. Some people would not like a snake walk. But at least they could look it up in the guide and know that they don't need to be worried about poisonous snakes in Michigan.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the other thing that's interesting, and I want to talk, share this about what Adam has shared with us, is that you've reduced the barriers, and if not eliminate them, you come awfully close to all barriers to these guides. I mean, you know, my library, I didn't go around to get my, I haven't got my library card yet, and this and that, and all you need is your phone and enough reception to download it, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only that, too, you also have access to other books that also are about Michigan topics. So when you're taking a break from doing your birding or other activity outdoors and you want something that's a little bit more of a leisure read, there's also that fiction or other local histories or other books that even talk about nature in a different way. No matter what, you're going to find something on there that you'll be able to have a little bit of leisure time that goes along with all of that outdoor activities that you're going to be doing.
I could just imagine myself at the Ludington State Park, and after I've identified my trees and my birds and my reptiles and my fish, that I could look up the Michigan history, logging history of Ludington, Michigan.
It's likely we have something in there like that.
All right. Well, let's talk about birding. Michigan is a hub for birding. There are over 450 species in the state of Michigan. Maya, I'm not going to ask you to name off the first 100, but isn't that amazing?
We really are so fortunate. And I think a lot of that, when you think about it, our geography in Michigan is so unique. I think if you've lived here your whole life, you might take for granted the fact that we have so much wonderful water, open water. And so we do get a tremendous number of very interesting waterfowl. Of course, we get birds of prey, owls. I mean, you name it, and it's going to be flying through here. And actually, I will tell you, the first Winged Wednesday of this year, of this spring migration, was actually about a white pelican that was found at Sterling State Park. So,
wasn't that pelican a little far from home?
Well, white pelicans actually do make it into Michigan, but it's very unique. It's a pretty rare occurrence when it does happen, which is pretty cool. Usually, actually, they're in Wisconsin quite a bit too. Again, part of that Great Lakes migration pattern. And, you know, I people often ask me, how do you get the reports? And I feel like I should say, it's not like I am putting together these reports just on my own. I use both really excited DNR employees who are out in the field, and they might have had a sighting of their own. And I also use an online resource called eBird. It's part of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. They have an online resource, actually several really cool online resources to help birders. But they actually have a way that people can go and they share their sightings. They upload photos, they identify it, and then they'll tell you where they've seen them. And so I check around at all the various state parks to see what some of the new and interesting birds are that are flying through. So a lot of that is, I always say, for the people who are receiving the text message, they might be the people who are actually sharing next week's update, because if they're out there and checking things out and sharing their findings on eBird, I use a lot of that as research too.
That's so exciting. And you mentioned about eBird. I've been, my brother and sister are birders and others, and we'll be over at the lakeshore. I'm talking about Muskegon again, but out at the wastewater treatment plant, and you have some state park in that area, and people say, oh, I saw this here and there, and sometimes all of a sudden you'll have this flood of people heading out looking for this particular bird.
You know, and that's really true. We had, I can't remember what species it was, that was very interesting, and it really was a delight for the birding community. But because so many people were attracted to see this anomaly, it was really impacting what it was eating on. It was actually, I think, eating on a deer carcass. And because so many people were there, it kept getting bumped off of its food source and had to move on to find a food source. So I do ask people, if you are going out and kind of looking after those, those rare birds for your birding bingo or your bucket list, just do please be respectful of the bird space, because even though it's very interesting for us to see, it's there every day, and they're just trying to survive. And in what we know in Michigan can be some pretty harrowing weather.
That's for sure. Hey, listen, we cover the whole state with Strong Tower Radio. Tell us the top locations throughout the state, what you're seeing trends for this year.
For our top birding locations? Well, I'll be honest. You could say pretty much any state park. But if I had to really narrow it down, Sterling State Park down near Detroit is absolutely a birding hotspot. Tawas Point State Park, which is over getting like just on the east side, definitely a birding hotspot. Anything along the Lake Michigan shoreline is seeing some really great action. And then, you know, really when you get into the Upper Peninsula, I'm amazed at how many birds kind of start fanning out up there. So, you know, really any state park up there, or really anything along waterways or big open grassy fields, you're going to see some really interesting species and a lot of action during migration.
Tell us a little bit about citizen scientists.
Well, I was mentioning eBird. So there's a couple different things that you can do if you get involved in the birding community, and when I say get involved, I mean, this just means you're looking it up online, right? So if you go to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, they actually have several what they call bird counts. So you, in your own backyard, can just spend whatever day it is that they define. You can just spend the day looking at the birds, and you write them down, and you track them, and then you report it. And that's part of, they have what they call the Great Backyard Bird Count. And that kind of information, something as simple as just telling people what you're seeing in your backyard, is so helpful for our ornithologists. Who are tracking and really trying to get an understanding of bird migration patterns, not only this year, but over time. Because as we see changes in climate, as we see varying weather patterns from year to year, it becomes really important to make sure we understand where they're going, so we're managing our habitats accordingly and understanding what we can do as stewards of these natural resources to make sure they have places that are safe passage for them. So every little bit that a citizen scientist does to share what they see makes a big difference, whether it's through eBird or other social media groups as well.
Well, Maya, tell our listeners again about how to sign up for the weekly Winged Wednesday.
Yes, very easy. You can either go online to michigan.gov/DNR, and you can sign up online that way. Or if you're hearing my voice, all you have to do is you can text the word bird to phone number 80888. So if you type that in as your phone number, all you have to do is say the word bird, you hit send, you will be sent the form to register right there from your phone.
Doesn't get much easier than that. And Adam, please tell our listeners again how they can access these field guides that we just learned about.
So all people have to do is just bring up an internet browser on their phone or tablet or even on their computers and just go to readmichigan.org, so .org at the end of it. And if they want to learn anything more about the many other programs that the Library of Michigan offers, whether it's our Notable Books Program, Author Award, other variety of different things that we do, if you just go to michigan.gov/Library of Michigan, that's where you can find all of the details along with our contact information.
It's so delightful to meet people like Maya and Adam, who are stewards of our libraries and stewards of our natural resources. The DNR, Maya, tell us about other things that are going on with the DNR that our listeners may be interested in.
Well, as we're coming into our busy summer season, I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention, speaking of libraries, we have something called the Michigan Activity Pass. It's actually a partnership with the Library of Michigan, the Library Network, the DNR, and so many great Michigan destinations. And you can get free passes or discounts at gift shops or discounted entry to places all throughout the state. It's museums, it's galleries, it's all of your state parks and state forest campgrounds and fish hatcheries. It's a great way to get day passes into places. Oh, it includes community recreation too. And all of those are passes you can get for free or at a discount through your library. And you can learn more about it if you just go to michiganactivitypass.info, look it up online, put in your library name, and then do a search for where you want to go. And I will tell you, just in case you're interested, the number one place that people use passes in the state of Michigan is Tequamanon Falls. A lot of people want to just have a chance to see Tequamanon Falls, but they don't necessarily want to have to invest the money in a recreation passport because they needed to see that waterfall. Although I'm hopeful that once they see it, they definitely see the value in supporting the recreation passport when they renew their license plate each year.
And that's what we do here at our household. We have one for each vehicle, so we're never restricted. We can go to whatever park and bring both cars if we bring along family and friends. Wow, this has been so much fun, Maya, and so much fun, Adam. What a delightful time. Thank you for your collaboration and referral to each other.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
Well, listeners, a great opportunity, the Winged Wednesday and the Michigan Field Guides through readmichigan.org. I'm your host, Tom Mazur, for the Strong Tower Radio Network. See you again next time. Bye now.